Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Guy Code Podcast, episode 3. I'm Ryan McKee. I'm here with Ryan Ling, creator of Guy Code.
Number one.
And we have everybody's favorite couple, Christy Stefano.
Hi.
And Carly Aquilino.
Yes. People were disappointed after you said everybody's favorite couple.
They were like,
they were like Angelina and Brad.
They thought I was talking about Lil Duval and Charlamagne.
Right, exactly.
Everyone's favorite Lil Duval and Charlamagne. That's funny.
I think it's DiStefano, though, right?
It's DiStefano,
it
yeah.
DiStefano. But,
it's a common mistake. It's DiStefano, but a lot of people pronounce that DiStefano, and then they think it's DeS, but it's actually DI, so it's DiStefano.
Right, and people bring him up all different ways when he's doing stand-up. Yeah.
Sometimes I see the S capitalized. Is the S supposed to be capitalized?
You know, I think the S is probably supposed to be capitalized, but I feel like that's very arrogant of me that I can just capitalize the S, and I have a lot of insecurity, so I just make it small because I feel small.
Right.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad. As the blog editor, I'm glad that I'm writing it correctly.
I don't think you're small.
Yeah. Well, I've been juicing.
So I thought we'd start off by talking about how Chris got on Guy Code. You came on season 2?
Yes, I came on season 2. How did I get started? You know, I think the way that, if I can remember it, is there was a spot open because, from season 1, Vinny didn't come back, right, from season 1 to season 2.
That's true.
There's something. And so then I think that opened up a spot on the show somehow. And then Damian Lemon was already on the show, and we have the same manager. So I think that's how the initial audition happened, or at least that's what I thought it was, but maybe it had nothing to do with that at all.
I'm pretty sure you filmed a pilot for MTV.
Oh, yes.
Prior to that.
Yes, I did. I filmed a pilot called Epic Fail, but then it turned into Philosophy. It was on MTV last year for one season, and I was in the pilot for that, and did maybe somebody see me from that?
Yeah, I think Lauren Zins might have pointed out
who
you were to Paul Ritchie and Darren Byrne. And
cool.
I said, hey.
Thanks, Lauren Zins.
It's true. Hashtag yeah. Thanks.
Hashtag at Lauren Zins. Follow her. Thank you, babe.
But they hit me up and they're like, you should check out this kid, Chris, because we were filming our spring break episode.
Yep. Yeah.
And you showed up wearing your purple V-neck.
Yeah, baby.
Leather jacket.
Yeah.
That leather jacket is the worst.
That was great.
I make fun of him every time he wears it.
All through season 2, did you call him the new Vinny? Because you didn't want
to. No. I feel like we don't really audition for spots. We just have all right, what new voice could we have that we don't have? And I mean, because we had only, Vinny's so busy with all his shows that we only probably got him in the chair a couple times.
Yeah.
But Chris just had such a unique voice in comedy because you're more of a storyteller. I mean, at least your first couple seasons on Guy Code, you just told hilarious stories, which was very unique.
Yeah, it just was, a lot. I feel like, where my whole mindset was when I first auditioned was, I'd watched the show the first season and I was like, that's what I noticed. I said, nobody really is telling stories. They all have great bits and great things about life. I said, but I have a lot of funny stories that happened, that shit that happened with me and my dad. So I'm like, I'm just going to try to talk about those and see what happens. And I thought I didn't get it because it was my first real big audition like that where I was like, Stucky wasn't laughing, the showrunner, he wasn't laughing. Nobody was laughing because you can't laugh because it'll mess up the tape. But I didn't know that. So I was just do a joke, put my whole heart and soul, my vein is bulging out of my neck because I'm getting into it so bad. And they're like, are you done? And I was like, yeah, I am.
And I'm bombing.
Yeah. And then, when my manager called me, he was like, because at first it was just going to be one. They said, you're just going to get on the spring break episode and that's it. And I was like, that's fine. That's perfect. Great. And I'll never forget where I was. I watched it. I was in Baltimore. My dad and I went to a Baltimore Orioles New York Yankees game when that spring break episode aired. And then we came sitting in our hotel. My dad was like, look, the kid's on TV. Look at him. He's on TV. And he had a camera phone. He tried to take pictures of it. But it was facing the other way. So he just had a bunch of pictures of his right shoulder. And I was like,
Were you guys dating when that happened? Or?
No. I think we met right after that.
No, well, that was in April. That spring break thing aired in April. And then June, we met in late June. So
yeah,
4 months later is
June.
When we met. So I wasn't even on
He wasn't
Guy
even
Code.
On Guy Code, but he told me he was.
What do
you
mean?
He was I remember when we first met, you were like, yeah, you know that show Guy Code? And I was like, yeah. And you were like, I'm on it. So
no, but
I was like, are you?
Is that
you?
The first thing you
know,
said to you?
I didn't know that he was only on one episode at that point, but he was filming.
I was filming
the other episode, so he technically was on it, but he just never was actually
like,
on
I'm
it.
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've seen it 100 times, and you're not.
We
on
watched
it.
The first time I was ever like on Guy Code for real was in that July of that year.
That July.
I was on like the third episode because I didn't film for the first two, and it was me, you, and Mike Cannon. We watched it at Mike Cannon's house smoking pot with his cat watching Guy Code.
Right, his cat was smoking pot.
Yeah.
It's a cool cat.
Yeah.
It's
pretty cool. Cat, the coolest cat, yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like in season three you got more of your stories in. Was there like a, Ryan, in editing, was there like more of a...
You know what it is, and I think we're experiencing this with Girl Code now, like after people do it once and see the process and go through it, it's just that much easier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it is. And I feel too, like, you know, the season two, like I was definitely like the new guy or one of the new guys, but then season three, I felt like, oh, now I'm one of the guys, you know, more established guys. So I felt like I took a little bit more chances in the chair, and I think I understood the show a little bit more of what certain things I can say that will actually make it to the show versus, you know, because there's things that you say that are funny, but it's just not in the context of the show.
Right.
And it took me a season to understand that.
Or Chris tells a really hilarious 2-minute story for every episode.
Yeah.
So like we'll be in the edit. Yeah. It's like look at this story that we can't put in.
Yeah, because it's just too long.
Right. Until we edit it out.
Until we did that with your virginity story.
Yeah.
Which was incredible.
And tell you the truth, that
super memorable.
That virginity story, I tell like that virginity story and the thing that I did with my mom going to my mom's house. After that, I never like even got like recognized in the streets until after those two things aired. Like, that's the thing that, like, people are like, you're the guy. They always come up to me. Hey, you're the guy from Guy Code. You were with your mom. Or you're the guy from Guy Code. You told that funny virginity story. Like, those are the two things that, in my experience, people, like, even remember about me.
Carly's here, you guys.
Yeah.
And people say to me all the time, I can't believe you're with Chris. He still lives with his mom. Meanwhile, we've lived together for, like, almost a year. Yeah. And they're like, he lives with his mom. He's such a loser. I'm like, no, he lives with me.
Or I love when people will tweet, like, somebody tweeted us 2 days ago, hey, Chris and Carly, you guys would make an excellent couple, just saying.
I retweeted that guy. I'm like, he's so in the dark. He's never even seen the show.
Incredible.
He seemed awesome, though,
How did you get, Girl Code come about for you, because you don't even been doing stand-up
I had like a short while for like 45 seconds
relatively,
I was doing
stand-up
for like 6 months, and Chris was doing a show at Caroline's and he was headlining, and at first he had one of his friends was gonna open for him, and then what happened, the day got switched.
Right.
They had to reschedule it because was it the hurricane or something?
No. Just he couldn't make it. It was Louis Ferranda said that I could only have you and Pete Davidson on the show.
Okay. All right. So it was me and Pete Davidson, who's also on Guy Code.
Which is where they saw him.
Which is where they also
saw
Pete Davidson.
Got it.
And I opened for Chris. Me and Pete opened for Chris. And Ryan Ling, this guy that's sitting to the left of me, he was in the audience with a lot of the Geico people. They came to support Chris. And then I went in for an audition the week later, an audition for it. And I also thought I didn't get it, too. Because I was like, because it's true.
You didn't warn her that they wouldn't laugh?
Well, I did. I told her after. She was like, I didn't get it. They didn't laugh. I was like, you're definitely going to get it then.
I was like, because it's a different thing. But I actually had Laura in the chair. I didn't have Stucky in the chair. So it was different. But also, like, with things like that, it's like, you're a girl. Maybe girls aren't as open to be talking about things that, you know, a guy would be talking about with another guy to a stranger. So I remember my audition topics were waxing.
Frenemies,
and what was the other one? Sluts.
Yep.
That was
being
it.
Being slutty.
Being slutty.
Those are juicy ones.
Yeah, they were really good, but it's like, this is a person I've never met before. I'm talking, doing this interview question. So I was a little like, I did all that I could. I wrote so many jokes on it, and I was like, oh, I hope that I got it, but I wasn't sure right after, because it's a different experience. You expect, like, especially being a comedian, you want the reaction right away. You want people to laugh out loud because that's what you're used to being up on stage, but in an audition it's definitely really different.
Right.
You were already on my radar after meeting you at can't remember what club that
Greenwich
was.
Village Comedy Club I met you at. I remember that night. I met
didn't
him.
I know who you were, and you thought I was a stand-up, and I was like, no.
I was like, because you were in the green room.
I'm not funny. Yeah.
He was in the green room.
Yeah, I think you were there. It was just we were just hanging out, because I think you were watching Schultz down the street. And
And then you came, and then we went to your house. Didn't we go to, no, we went to Ryan's house the first episode of Guy Code that you were on. We did. I remember what shoes I
was
wearing.
Maybe for the season. Probably season
for
three
of the season. But the first episode I ever appeared in was.
Whatever,
but
you
But we definitely went to the
Whatever
first season for Ryan. Yeah. Remember Ryan's bathroom smelled like bacon?
It did.
So awesome. Your bathroom smells like bacon?
I always bring that up. It was the best thing ever.
I think it was the people above him must have been cooking bacon in their kitchen. And it's like as soon as you walk in, you're like, oh my God, it's. This is amazing. It smells like bacon.
Are you sure
you
don't shit bacon?
I can't.
I feel like you do.
I don't not shit bacon.
Right.
Ryan shits sizzling bacon.
Right.
The sizzler.
Come on down. The sizzler-ling.
Yeah.
That would be a good air freshener for your bathroom. It's like bacon.
They make that.
I'm sure they do.
They make bacon candles, bacon air fresheners.
And if there is, if Guy Code was ever to make air fresheners, they would all just smell like bacon. That is the ultimate Guy Code food of choice.
Yeah.
If I die prematurely, please put that on my tombstone. Right. Like, bathroom smells like bacon.
Bathroom smells like bacon.
Oh, I thought you were going to say shit's bacon on your tombstone.
Yeah.
Oh,
that could be
even
like
better.
The dark side.
Yeah, on the dark side of it.
I wore a shirt on Guy Code once that just said bacon.
I remember that. I liked that shirt. I like that shirt.
They're like, hey, Chris, you want to wear this shirt? It's the last episode. It just says bacon.
I would.
That sounds like a
Gaber
shirt.
I actually said that. I was like, this is more like a Gaber shirt, but he was already done filming.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
So you mentioned getting noticed on the street now more. I mean, you guys together must get noticed all the time.
Yeah,
well,
it's the hair.
You know, can you see that?
The red hair.
It's but it is the hair. It is the hair. But then again, it's not. We were actually just in Boston with Jesse May Peluso, and Carly was shopping in Urban Outfitters. The three of us were in there, and you know there were a bunch of kids in there, so we get a notice lot. And she had to find an outfit for the night, so kind of were in a hurry. So they were wearing, it was a little chilly out, so she put on she tucked her hair into like a hat, so you couldn't see her red hair. So we're like, oh, it's just gonna be fine. We walk up the stairs.
That was it.
Somebody's like, are you Carly from
but
Girl Code?
They don't say it right away.
Yeah.
They follow me around.
Yeah.
They follow me around, and they're like, hey. They'll be like behind the rack, like peek over.
Yeah.
Hey, are you look like that girl on Girl Code.
Yeah. Yeah, so they notice. And you know what's funny for me is like, this is just the truth, right? Like, so I think it's all like known that, you know, there's different demographics that watch MTV versus MTV2. Remember we were in the mall in Flatbush, you know, it's like in
Triangle
the middle of
Brooklyn. Junction.
Yeah, Triangle Junction Mall.
Fancy.
So it's a predominantly, you know, black neighborhood. I think, I don't know if it's true, but it seems like I get noticed a lot by black people. And I walked into the Triangle Junction, and people were like, you're that guy from Guy Code? You're that guy from Guy Code? I was like, yeah. And they looked at her and didn't even know who she was.
They just walk away. They'd be like, all right, cool,
like,
bye. All right,
cool, yeah. Can I get it? You know, so it's funny, but like anywhere else you go, like, you know, it's, you know, they'll notice her. Like sometimes with me, like they'll notice me. I'd be like, hey, you're the guy from Guy Code? I'm like, yeah. They're like, is your girlfriend around? I'd like to get a picture with her. I'm like, no.
The best is when people will... This is what we were talking about before when people, somebody came up to Chris earlier today and said, oh, I love you and your girlfriend on Best Week Ever. they act like they're such diehard fans and they don't know what show you're on, but they know they've seen
one
you.
One of those talking head shows.
Yeah. And people come up to me all the time. They're like, Girl Talk is literally my favorite show. And I watch Girl Talk every week.
Yeah.
And Girl Talk is the best show. And I'm like, what channel is that show on? I don't even know because it's not a real show.
It's a DJ. Yeah.
Or they'll be like, hey, right. What's the... Hey, Chris, a big fan of yours. What's the man code to this?
Yeah.
It's like, what? Get the name right.
Die hard fans.
Yeah.
Does it get intense sometimes? Like when you guys get noticed?
I think it's... For the most part, it's good. We don't mind it. We'll take pictures with a lot of people. But sometimes, like, I get scared because there have been times where I'm walking in the city... And somebody will stop me and be like, hey, I've been following you for like 5 blocks. Can I get a picture? And that's scary to me. It's like, you could follow me home. I didn't even know you were behind me for 5 blocks. That's a long walk.
That's what not to say.
Yeah. It's hey, don't come up to me and be like, hey, I've been following you since this morning. is that.
You know, and there's time. Like there was one time where somebody tweeted a picture of her at me. We weren't together. And someone's like, hey. Just saw your girl in the city and like had a picture. He was behind her, like it was just a picture of her hair, and I knew it was her. I knew what she was wearing, and then that scared me. So I'm like, called her and been like, she picked up the phone. I was like, look, just go. There's somebody following you. So that's literally when it like got like a little like there was one time when we were in a mall in her around her hometown in Suffolk County. So a lot of people, of course, you know who she is. She's a hometown girl that made it on, you know, to MTV. So there were like 200 kids behind. It looked like our Verizon network behind us. That's what it was like, you know, like, and the mall security had to come because they were blocking, because a lot of people want to take pictures with us, but they were like surrounding us that we really couldn't move anyway. Yeah. That mall security had to come.
That was scary.
It's like a Bieber
concert. I don't know if it was scary because, I mean, maybe it was scary to you, but to me, I wouldn't define that as scary in my opinion, just because I knew the kids weren't going to do anything, but it was like a little overwhelming. Because it was just like...
It's like anxiety. Oh, yeah. You're like, yeah. Oh my God, I can't move. Like, there's all these people. And I would never say no to someone that wanted to take a picture. But it was like the weekend before school started. Yeah. Every kid was in. And then once one of them recognized you, especially I have bright red hair, I can't put a pair of sunglasses on and blend in, you know?
Right.
Mm. So that was a little much. But also this happened once. We were in Florida. My parents have a condo there. And we're in Florida. It's me and him in the pool messing around, like doing stupid stuff to each other's hair. And like, I'm like, you have to do a cartwheel, like just stupid stuff in the pool. And there was a girl there and didn't think anything of it, whatever. And then I get back. We must have gone out for dinner or something. And I get a Vine. The girl was videotaping us in the pool while I'm like in the privacy of my own kind of like parents' house. Yeah. I'm like, why are you videotaping? Yeah. Like that was like that was the worst, I thought. Cause I'm like, that's like a moment that's like, it's not like I'm in a Starbucks. It's like, I'm in a bathing suit
in my house,
yeah.
Which now you know where we
right.
We are.
And she tweeted out where I was and what the name of the building was. And I was like, you have to take that down. I'm sorry. I was like, that's such an invasion of privacy.
But you know, it's like humbling for us, and we appreciate the fact that anybody. I mean, because you know, Carly, you know, and I both, like 6 months, 8 months ago, nobody knew who the hell we were, and now we have people who know who we are, and me, her, and Jesse May just sold out a theater in Boston. Like all those things are like amazing things, like once in a lifetime, you know, opportunities for comics. So we're humbled by it, but it isn't like a bit of an adjustment. And I don't know, as these things keep going, you know, hopefully they keep going up, there'll probably be more of an adjustment, because, you know, I know we don't consider ourselves like celebrities or anything like that, but we just getting like a little taste of it, like where like a good amount of people know who you are. Like, I don't know how, you know, Justin Timberlake, or not, I'm not comparing myself to him at all, but I don't know how at that level, how you even live like your life.
You can't,
when
you
not
don't.
Everybody knows who you are and wants to stop and take a picture
you
with
you.
You
can't go shopping.
Can you do anything?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't do anything. You're going to have to hire Big Black as security pretty soon.
Because like with us, we'll get noticed if there's like a group of, like if we ever walk through, you know, a block where the high school was just letting out, it would be similar to being like a Justin Timberlake, because everyone watches
how Justin Timberlake is for just everybody. We would be like that if a high school, or actually a middle school, was letting out.
They would know. But other than
we'd be like, oh my God, this is so crazy.
Yeah.
But we do appreciate it more than anything, because even though sometimes I think it's a lot of pressure and it's a little overwhelming, like we said, I think that we appreciate it more than anything, because without the fans, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing, and we wouldn't have the opportunities that we're getting, and that's like the most special part of it, because it's really like so cool to see how powerful being on MTV is,
because
it reaches so many different people. Like, I get tweets from people in other countries, oh, I love the show. It's so cool. You know?
Does anybody ever recognize you from the 2010 Fencing Masters?
Oh my God.
Yeah. So people, my dad recognizes me from that. My mom. No, that was.
You had to host. I saw that
what
on your credit.
What is the 2010 Fencing
Masters?
Dude, you
gotta check it out on YouTube. That Chris hosted.
Oh, okay.
He did it for two years.
No, I hosted it. I was at the Hammerstein Ballroom. And it was just like the worst. It was my first time ever on TV. And it was on like, you know, SNY. And I just, it was awful. Like, if you have a chance just put in Chris Stefano fencing masters and just sit back and enjoy the awkwardness.
Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube.
It is on YouTube.
Can I explain it?
It is
first
brutal,
of all,
dude.
It's Chris's haircut is hysterical in this video.
Yeah.
And then he goes,
it's like my fault.
The guy's like doing an interview with him, like, hey, how does it feel to be, you know, hosting the fencing masters? And Chris is so uncomfortable. He's never been on TV before. He's like, you know, some people get David Letterman, I got this, whatever. Like, totally said something so messed up that you shouldn't say.
Yeah, and he was like, what have you been doing to, like, research? And I'm like, pretty much nothing, just been, like, Googling.
And then you said this joke that was, like, brutal. He goes, yeah, you know, just trying to, everything's in French. I'm just watching the Pink Panther. That's what he honestly said.
Yeah. And it was just like, and then like at the end of the interview, like I gave like a host like the exploding fist bump.
Yeah.
And then like pointed at the camera.
Yeah, he gave him a pound.
And then it was like, what is this dude doing? And then I did it again the next year. and that was even worse because like I was forgetting fencers' names and I had all my cards shuffled and I ruined like the ceremony because I just like announced the wrong winner. I was like, Dugika Kudashevsky. And they were like, no, he didn't win. He died a year ago.
Well, he did now.
That's incredible.
Yeah, you guys watch it, man. It's funny.
Did you know anything about fencing before?
No, I didn't know. You know, actually.
How did you get that kid?
Well, yeah. Okay, so there was this comedian.
Like, that manager got fired.
Yeah. There was this comedian. His name was Tim Morehouse. He only did it for a little while, and he is an Olympic fencer. He actually, like, was truly, like, won the silver medal, like, a true Olympic fencer. And he was doing stand-up around New York. And we just started hanging out one day and then, you know, got to know each other, you know, started to go hit some open mics together in like 2010. And then he was like, hey, I got this event at Hammerstein Ballroom. Do you want to host it? And I was like, yeah. I mean, I was only doing comedy for like a year and a half. And then I showed up just like in a suit, you know, my hair spiked up
to the
ceiling.
Oh, my God, his hair was so ugly.
Yeah,
it was so ugly.
Absolutely just ruined it, you know. And they didn't even pay me. Like, I didn't get anything. It was awful. Yeah.
How much did you deserve to get paid?
I mean, probably I deserve to pay them. Yeah.
Like no free shrimp, no cocktail shrimp or anything?
Right. I honestly just wanted one of the fencing helmets. Because they look like beekeeper helmets. That's the only thing that I wanted. And they said they were going to give it to me, but I'm still waiting 3 years later. I, like, check my mail every day. I'm like, you have a fencing helmet come?
Do you really have a doctorate in physical therapy?
Yeah.
So can we call you
doctor? It's funny, like, when people say it like that. Like, now it's just like, people always like, they'll listen to me talk and listen to my act, be like, so you really have a doctorate? I'm like, yeah. Like, you really have one.
Just
you
insert that really.
Really?
Really?
Really? I don't think it's so much really. You as just you don't meet a lot of comedians that have doctorates in anything.
I know. I just, for some, you know what it is? Like, I had a plan to be a comic since I was like 20 years old, but I knew that, you know, you don't make money doing stand up right away and you need something to support yourself. So I was like, I'm just going to go to graduate school. Become a physical therapist, and then my main plan was to work in the school system, which I did because I knew that the hours weren't bad and you got summers off, you know, get out every day at 3 o'clock so I could go do the open mics and, you know, practice my sets, and summer is off so I can, and I could still get paid for it, so just in case I wasn't making that much money doing stand-up, at least I'd still be getting a paycheck every 2 weeks, and that's what I did. I just quit in March. I was getting like noticed by like the students I was treating. And they'd be like, you see on Geico last night? I'd be like, no. Like, yo, you were talking about your balls. That was you. I'm like, all right, I got
to
go.
Speaking of balls, can you explain to everyone how the New York City comedy scene takes advantage of your degree?
Oh, yeah. So what's been happening as of late and as a matter of fact for the past couple of years is a lot of New York City comics, you know, a lot of us don't have health insurance. So I'm the only one, like you said, not many of us have doctor degrees, and I'm not a doctor, and I make that clear to them, but comedians are paranoid people, so I have looked in a many...
You have a very educated opinion.
Yeah, I have a very educated opinion on a bunch of comedians' balls, urethras. I've looked at about 25 male comedians' genitalia twice a week because they're so paranoid about, you know, what, because they just had unprotected sex with some girl they met in the club the night before, and now I'm the one who has to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning and look down their dick hole.
When you told me this, I thought it happened like at the comedy club, like backstage.
Oh, a couple of guys shall remain nameless, but they are on the show. I have had to after I've had to look in there down, you know, at their balls in the middle of a comedy show in the bathroom in the green room. That's happened multiple times.
Again, not going to say their names. You're so furious.
Yeah,
I think they're thankful.
Yeah, no, they are thankful. Saving lives. Well, yeah, no, there was a couple of times where I like was like, yeah, there's nothing to worry about. And then they would like call me the next week and be like, I have herpes. I'm like, well, I missed it.
You're like, sorry.
Sorry, I'm just a physical therapist.
Right.
Yeah.
So I want you to check this out. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Imagine. It burns.
This is the whole reason why we're on the podcast. Yeah. Yeah, we all drop our pants.
Yeah.
You grew up in Queens and you grew up where,
on Long Island.
On Long Island.
Yeah.
How does that, both being native New Yorkers, work?
Well, like being a couple. Accents.
It's, yeah.
We both sound funny.
You
want
to hear something really funny? When Chris and I first started dating, he called me one night and he was really drunk and he was like walking home from the bar wasted. And
after
he's
looking
like,
at some balls.
After looking at some balls.
What I did.
And he's talking to me on the phone and he's like, I just really like you. Your voice makes me feel like I'm home. Like you sound like one of my aunts. I was like, okay, I'm going to go. Like, it was nice to talk to you. And I just hung up the phone. He's like, no, you sound like everyone in my family. That's why I like you. I was like, that's so creepy.
Yo, my aunts are hot.
The creepiest thing I've ever seen, ever heard in my life.
What's up? And now, like, in bed, I call you Aunt Carly.
Ew, it turns me on. You know what? I'm going to punch him right in the face.
Come on, don't do that.
And you grew up with
aunts older punch.
As a their punch. Nephews.
Older brothers, right?
Yeah, I have two older brothers.
Does that help, like, understand? Did they teach you how to understand guys better?
I think when girls grow up with older brothers, it definitely makes them tougher because you're growing up with boys. They're playing all the time. I never played sports or anything, but I definitely think I have thicker skin than if I were to have sisters or, like, be an only child or something like that, because I grew up, like, playing video games and, like, you know, messing around like that, just doing guy shit.
Yeah.
And that's why I liked it better. You know, when I got older, I felt like I could be in a better relationship than just like, my God.
She just pointed
it out. It's just funny. It's funny because one of her brothers is like comically huge. Like he's a monster of a human being, like just jacked maniac. And he's like, what's up? You date my sister? I'm like, yeah. He's like, don't hurt her.
I'm sorry, sir.
He's like, don't hurt her. And he was like, or else, you know, like, he was like, I remember him saying, like, you know, her ex-boyfriends just never get it. They just don't understand. Don't hurt her. And everything's fine.
He's such a liar. That never happened. My brothers liked my ex-boyfriends. I'm just kidding. I said that to see his face.
Yeah.
I said that like to see happens. His and see his heartbreak right through his
You just
his
hear
eyes.
The microphone slam and I walk out. Well, go fucking take that man.
Don't get it.
I just said that to mess with him.
Well, whatever.
We talked last week. We talked to April. And Ryan was talking about the topics on Girl Code that have made him most uncomfortable. Have there been any topics on Girl Code that made you uncomfortable, Chris?
Topics on as a guy on Girl Code that made me uncomfortable? Not really. It's hard to make a guy, you know, uncomfortable. Like, there's nothing, you know, even if, like, you were, like, you know, even if, like, if just talking about, like, penises, and they're like, well, would you mind showing your penis? I'd be like, yeah, I don't care.
I think it's uncomfortable. Well, it's not now. During season one, it was uncomfortable to hear a room full of girls talk about being slutty or their vagina. And I'm like, I'm not supposed to be hearing this.
Right.
But on this season, we're actually talking about vaginas. And I know you're naming the parts of the vagina.
Oh, yeah?
You think, and you're like, pubes. Pubes. So it's from his.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the only thing that is uncomfortable, like Ryan just said, as a guy, you know, talking to Girl Code is the people who, you know, the showrunners for Girl Code are women, you know. And sometimes, like, if I'm talking about, like, a deep feeling thing, and, you know, sometimes, like, as guys, like, you know, we're answering these questions about girls and like, we're coming off like dogs in a way. And I'm like, I can't, this is not what I'm trying to say, but I can't stop it. And they're just like, that's really how you feel about us.
It's a lot of judgment.
And I'm like,
when guys
no.
film Girl Code.
Yeah. But no, you know, nothing really makes me that uncomfortable, I don't think.
Nothing makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, I'll say whatever. I don't care.
Have there been any scenes that you like they used, and you saw it afterward, and you're like, oh, why did I say that?
Well, there's a lot of things that you say just right off the cuff, and when you see them, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. That's crazy. That, because you know you didn't write it down, but it's just something that came naturally to you, and I feel like those things are actually funnier.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's been on that I like cringe about, because I don't think that you need to apologize for anything you say. I think it's all fun and it's funny. And the only thing is, like, people that watch a show may take it seriously. Like, I remember the first season, I said that thing about fedoras, how I think they're scary and they're like my worst nightmare. And I get tweets all the time, like every day, from girls like, F you, fedoras are amazing. They're like, it's not my fault that you can't wear one because you're not cool enough, like saying all this stuff. And some girl was outraged, all caps, wrote, F you, Michael Jackson was amazing, so don't talk about fedoras. I was like, what does that have to do with Michael Jackson at all? Because I guess he wore one.
Yeah.
If anything made fedoras acceptable, it's people threatening you over fedoras.
Right, right. I'm like, okay, you guys, calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down. I don't care if anybody wears a fedora. They flip out. It's so funny.
Yeah, it is. The audiences of the show are funny because they take it so seriously. Like, and they'll really ask you like dead serious questions, like what's the guy code to this, or like, you know, like me, like with my pit stains, like I always, like, it's highlighted on the show, and they'd be like, hey, do you know that you have armpit stains? And that's weird on TV.
Yeah.
Just in case you didn't know. It's like, well, there's a sign in almost every episode that points to Chris's pit stains. So I think I know.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. People are just, you know. See, the fans,
do you get angry tweets?
You know what? I don't really get as many angry tweets as I hoped for. Sometimes I'm like, oh, am I not moving people enough? Because I feel like
for the
most part, people just tweet at me and are like, Chris seems like a nice guy. You know, like, it's I would like some more ones that say I'm funny, or more ones that say I hate you, because at least, but they're like, Chris seems nice. Oh, he's cute. He lives with his mom. Does he have special needs? You know,
he's okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
I've never asked you, Ryan. Do you get angry tweets, like people finding you as the creator of Geico?
Not at all. I get a lot of mixtapes tweeted to me. I'm not sure. People don't realize that TV producers don't produce music albums.
Yeah.
That I know of.
Like, yeah. This guy if looks there's like an avenue, he knows hip hop.
Right. Yeah.
I do know hip hop. But I don't. That was the chair.
Have you ever
farting, not me.
Have you ever listened to any of them?
Nah, not
that would be really funny. You should make a mixtape of all the different mixtapes.
That would be incredible. I'm always afraid of viruses. I don't know if you can get a virus on your iPhone, but I'm always afraid to click on it.
Probably can.
You probably can't really play it on your iPhone because they don't let you play that stuff, I don't think, if it's like weird software.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming that it's like just stupid. Like, I don't know.
I get a lot of great YouTube, self-made YouTube videos of people talking about the girl code and guy code topics. And
yeah.
Oh, really?
I do.
Like they're auditioning for
every,
you?
Every now and then I click on it. And
have
it's
you ever seen a good one?
No. Not yet. Not yet.
I get tweets all the time. But, can you get me on Girl Code? All my friends think I'm really funny.
Oh, yeah. We'll always get the tweet, you know, too. You have to get me on Guy Code and Girl Code. You're making a huge mistake if you don't. It's like,
yeah. Okay, and then you
Nancy.
Look on their, and then you look on their Twitter. It's like, I'm a veterinarian. Like, it's like, has
my
nothing
followers.
To do with comedy. Yeah.
I love all that, though.
I love it, too.
I mean, all the spoof videos, I watch every one, and I think they're great. Like, Kid Code. It's pretty incredible.
Kids Code's really funny.
I think that one comedy club did a spoof. It's really bad.
Stand
Up New York,
yeah.
Stand Up New York, yeah.
I know the comedians on there. It's funny.
It's funny.
It's fun.
It's
I
funny.
Love, there's a Squirrel Code Twitter account.
Are you serious?
Oh, that's really funny.
That's pretty
I
cool.
I need to follow it.
Squirrel Code.
I love all the spoofs. It's great. It's a good thing.
It's cool. I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
it means
people
good.
Care about the
people
show.
Watch
because
it.
Yeah.
When we do a lot of these colleges, you know, there's a lot of, you know, MTV is so big in the college market, like a lot of the kids will tell us, like, not only do they watch like Guy Code and Girl Code, but it's like their favorite show.
Yeah.
Like they are like every college we've went to so far, I think the college has told us at least this year, like, yeah, this is the biggest event so far. Like we have to turn so many kids away. The kids are so excited. Like you're making their semester.
Yeah. Some kid broke a window.
Yeah. But I did some show at school in the Bronx and some kid broke a window because they wouldn't let him in. So he tried to break the window to get in, you know.
And the window was tiny. It was like the littlest window ever.
Yeah,
Nobody could fit through that window.
Dedicated. And it doesn't have like, you know, I'm sure it has like, you know, some stuff to do with the individuals, but it's just more like of the show. Like you could put any one of us from either show and the kids would just go crazy for it. They love it. So it's good. It's cool. That's cool to see.
They're good fans.
Yeah,
we
feel like I feel like we're a part of something because, you know, like MTV is in some ways like evolving into a comedy network. Like, you know, 10 years ago, if you were a comedian on MTV, you probably weren't going to be showcased that much because there's music and reality TV. But now, if you're a comedian on MTV, you're being seen by millions of people. So it's like,
and they use you on different shows.
It's like, honestly, if you're not going to be on one of the major networks like NBC, ABC, CBS, this is, or Fox, this MTV is the best cable network for a comedian to be on. I think, you know, Comedy Central's great too, but MTV, like, there's so much an array of things that you can do, you know, so it's awesome.
We have some fan questions for you guys.
Cool.
Well, I'm not answering
people
them.
People tweeted in. Was it intimidating, Chris, this one's for Chris, for you to first approach Carly because of her tattoos and you don't have tattoos?
Well, it intimidating? You know what? I guess it was. Well, because I just assumed, when I first approached Carly, I just assumed I was going to get shot down. So, like, I went up and I was like, hey, what's up? I know you probably don't like me, but if there's something that you do, but you probably don't. Do you want to maybe go on a date? All right, I'm sure the answer
this
is no.
This strategy does not work for most guys.
Yeah, I'm sure the answer is no.
Don't listen to Chris.
I'm sure the answer is no, but, you know, just in case you ever wanted to and you, like, felt bad for me, like, I'm around. So you can call me, but you probably won't.
You asked me for a piece of gum the first night we met. That was how he,
that
like,
was my opening
so
thing.
Smooth
yeah.
and
it's pretty good.
Real cool. Yeah. We were at a show. It was, like, the worst show ever. It was in a basement in Queens. No audience
zero
showed
audience.
Up.
I'm not a joke. Zero audience, but we still did the show.
Just for other comics.
Like, open mic status.
For other comics and just, you know, spirits in the seats.
Right. And it was like closing up and I was looking in my bag and he's like, hey, do you have a piece of gum? And I was like, yeah, sure, hold on 1 second. I had this huge bag. I'm like ruffling through it trying to get the gum out. I can't find it. And he's like, no, seriously, it's fine. It's like not a big deal. It's okay. and then he asked me if I wanted a ride home. And I was like, yeah, sure. I've never met you before. This seems cool. And just got in the car with a stranger. Yeah.
But that took me 10 minutes. Like, I was thinking in my head 10 minutes, what's the best opening question? I was like, you have gum? I was like,
I feel like it's better than what most people do.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it was just, and then you want to hear the fucking guy code thing that happened and just, you know, to let you in. I drove Carly home and, like, a gentleman, okay, like a gentleman was going to just let her off and then drive away. And then I was like, oh, you live here? She's like, yeah. And this point, and then she said, you want to come up and, like, have a beer?
No. Wait a minute. Calm down, because that's not how it happens at all.
Yeah, that's what happens. I have a car.
Let me explain to you what that really was. That was, he was dropping me off, and I was like, oh, do you have anything else tonight? Do you have any more spots? And he goes, no. And I was like, all right, let's go get a beer. Like, just let's go get a beer. And he goes,
wanted the Stromboli.
He goes, well, there's no bars around here. I was like, okay, well, then I'm just going to go. And he's like, do you want to go to this park and drink?
Yeah.
Like, we're in third grade.
Want to drink at the park?
And I was like, no, it's fine. And then we got beers and just went up on my roof because it's like, I wanted to go to a bar. He said no. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to get out of the car. And then he wanted to go to a park. Like, literally, we're in fifth grade.
And then I was trying to, like, get into your, like, apartment. I was like, you want to just go in your apartment?
He's like, let's just go in your apartment. I don't want to go on the roof. I was like, you're not going in my fucking apartment, so get over it.
I was like, come on, we can just go.
Yeah, I was like, no thanks. My roommate's sleeping, a.k.a. no thank you.
Well, I think the initial question was because guys assume that girls that have tattoos like guys with tattoos.
Right. Well,
if you have more tattoos than a guy, I mean...
Well, I'm definitely insecure about it at times. Like, there have been times I'm like, I'm just going to get a tattoo, but then I get scared of the needle. But I have a lot of eczema, so that's, like, a lot. I have
that's
a lot
equivalent.
Of, I have a lot
scars.
Of stuff on my skin, too,
it's like
guys.
It's nature's tattoo.
Yeah, it's
right,
God's
it is
tattoos.
Nature's.
Yeah.
Right.
Of eczema and psoriasis.
Perfect. Perfect.
This one comes from Carlos Rivas.
Hey, Carlos Rivas.
Do you ever argue over jokes?
No. We argue over jokes? No. I mean, we talk about our jokes and we'll run jokes by each other, but we never argue about jokes.
Yeah, I don't think we ever argue. You know, like, I think like, maybe, like, in the beginning of the relationship when, you know, it was newer and we, you know, there's obviously insecurities with a new relationship, you know, we'd be like, hey, don't talk about, you know, or, like, Carly talking about, you know, her past made me, you know, like, insecure or jealous, or if I talked about something, it made her insecure or jealous. But now I think that we both... You know, you just accept that people have pasts, and, you know, especially as a comedian, like, I think if we, you know, put, say, this topic's off limits. Well, that's like, that's doing a huge disservice to us as artists. Like, we right. have to be able to speak about anything at any capacity.
Right.
So I don't think that
I remember that actually, I never said anything about your jokes. I never said anything. But he, when we first started dating and I was doing stand up one day, we were in the car and he's like, "Do my jokes ever make you nauseous?" And I go, I go, "No." He goes, "Oh, because your jokes literally make me nauseous." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And then I just didn't do stand up in front of him for like 5 months. Cause I'm like, he hurt my feelings so bad. Cause I was talking about my ex-boyfriends or whatever it is. And stand up as a comedian should know, like going into it, like a lot of stuff is exaggerated or it's a premise, but it's, we add things in to make it funny and all that stuff. So it's kind of, it's not all reality, like all 100% real stuff.
Yeah.
Mine is.
And yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
How's your kale smoothie? Tweeted myself a question to ask you guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah, cool.
You guys, how long have you lived together now?
We've lived together since December.
December 1st of 2012. So it's coming up on a year.
Almost a year.
We lived in the basement of
Cockroach
Rat-filled apartment. And moved into a new place last month.
Yeah, which Chris flooded. So Chris flooded it the third day we lived there. And he flooded not only our apartment, he made sure to flood every apartment.
How did you flood the apartment?
Us.
Okay, so it's actually, you know, I think you guys are going to understand that it wasn't my fault. They turned the water off in our building, okay? Not my fault. There was a water leak. I needed to take a shower. So I turned on the water. There's no water coming out at all. There's just like little like drips of water. So I'm like, well, I have no other. So I was just taking the drips in a puddle and just throwing them on my skin, like just, you know, trying to do anything. And then I, you know, bathed as quick as I could in the little drips that were coming out of the faucet. And I forgot to turn off, you know, the shower head, like the tub was open and the shower, you know, head was going and all the sinks were on because I just turned everything on because like there's no water coming out anywhere. And then I just forgot to turn them all off. And then the water was turned back on in the building about 20 minutes later. And I didn't come home for another 9 hours.
Yeah.
And when I got home, there was scalding hot water that overflowed out of the bathtub, out of all the sinks.
Down to the basement. We're on the sixth floor.
Right. It went all the way down to the basement. It collapsed the ceilings on the fifth, fourth, third, and second floor.
Uh-huh.
Went all the way into the basement.
Yeah, yeah.
And now kind of there's like, you know, rust all over
the
bottom of
the
walls.
Yeah,
I destroyed our apartment. The floors are coming up. So it's a pretty big issue.
So you should get renter's insurance?
Actually, they
didn't give us
they
such
didn't give
a hard
us
time.
Too much of our time.
Because what happened was we both came home. It's late at night and there's shit everywhere. Like not actual shit, but like our crap all over the apartment. And the balcony door is open. The windows are open. And I walk in. I'm like, oh, my God, we got robbed. We have to leave. Because I thought, but it was really just from the flood, which was the third day, by the way, that we lived there. So we ran downstairs. And I'm telling, I'm like, there was someone in our apartment. They must have came in through the balcony and just opened up all the windows, which is something that I guess people that rob stuff do. They just opened up the windows. They were like, let's just air this place out. Yeah. And they were like, no, actually, you flooded the entire building. I was like, I'm just going to go back upstairs. That was great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Like, they were so mad at me that it was like to the, like, they were just like, hi, welcome home. You flooded the whole building.
Yeah.
So
and now they can't rent any of the apartments underneath it.
Yeah.
We were one of the first ones to move into our building, so.
And they were like being passive aggressive. I was like, all right, is that cool? And they were like, no, it's okay. Like, we have insurance and it probably only costs like $100,000, but it's fine.
It's fine.
And they're just looking at the floor.
Yeah.
We have to wrap it up here very soon, but real quick, what's one thing you guys both learned about the other when you moved in?
You go first.
I learned that Carly poops. No.
No, I don't.
No, she doesn't. She's always constipated.
About, so you know.
I'm always constipated.
Constipated Carly. That should be a new character on Girl Code. What is one thing? Do you want to take it first, and then I'll follow you? What's one thing you learned about me?
One thing I learned about Chris when we moved in together, he's trying to look at me like, oh, don't say anything.
All right, I'll take it. I learned Carly is an excellent cook. She's like the best cook.
Oh, he's
going to
be nice?
No, seriously.
He's normally nice.
Yeah, because I got the look like you better say something. So
no, I don't care.
Chrissy Redemption, she is the best, honestly, cook. Like, check my Instagram. Go back a few weeks
or a
few months.
I could cook.
Because we've been busy late, so she hasn't cooked as much, which I'm a little upset about, but it's all right.
But
she is the best cook, I think. She may even be better or as good as her mom. which
my
I
mom's
know,
an excellent
and her
cook.
Mom is like
my
an excellent an cook. She's Italian, she's 100% Italian, yeah. Sicilian, so she just yeah. learned knows how to make sauce.
One thing I learned about Chris when we moved in together is that when guys fart, they also poop.
So what do you mean?
In
what?
Your I don't underwear.
That's not true for every guy.
That's not what do you mean? Like sharted?
In your underwear, yeah, you shart.
Yeah, but that's all right. I drink a lot of kale smoothies.
Yeah. So that's something I learned while
so
doing
you
the laundry.
Chris sharts a lot.
Yeah.
I learned that.
Chrissy sharts a lot.
I learned from you that Chris doesn't use dressers.
Yeah.
What
Chris
do you mean?
Has, oh, you mean in his
for
closet?
His clothes? What's his clothing situation?
Your clothes are in the closet, but here's the thing. I have a really big closet in our apartment that nobody's allowed in, especially Chris. Chris is not allowed in my closet.
And sometimes not allowed in the apartment.
Yeah, you're most of the time.
Yeah.
But we had gotten him a dresser, and I tried to put it together because he couldn't put it together. So the whole back of it's missing. So when we moved in, he was like, oh, let's leave this in the bedroom. I was like, no, that's really ugly. And I put his dresser in his closet. So he just has all of his shit, like so much. It's all cluttered in his closet. And I feel really guilty because I won't let him in my closet. But my closet's full and it looks really nice. So it's just kind of all just piles of clothes
and sneakers and receipts.
And
I heard you used Rubbermaid.
What is?
Oh, that.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
really,
yeah, yeah.
I really spoiled
yeah, that was
everything.
At our old apartment.
Oh, yeah.
That was at our old apartment.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
I thought it was smart, and
yeah.
I copied off
yeah.
of you.
That's awesome. Yeah, if you yeah, guys, if you're listening, just instead of like getting a closet or anything, just get Rubbermaid, get these big bins.
Yeah, I didn't let them come to our new apartment, though, those bins. Because when we first moved in together, he goes, he was like, I need a dresser. And I was like, yeah, we'll get you one. And he's like, can't I just have like a big bin, like a big Tupperware kind of thing? And I was like, no, you can't have that. And then I ended up caving and got him the Rubbermaid bins to
like
put in the closet.
Just, yeah.
And I didn't let him bring them to our new apartment because I'm like, that's so ugly. Like, I can't. And then he also requested a huge picture of Yankee Stadium in the middle of the living room, which I denied.
Whatever.
Carly, crusher of dreams.
Yeah.
Right.
New crusher of dreams.
I'm like, this isn't, no. I was like, no, this isn't,
yeah.
No.
Well, this has been our third podcast with the Crusher of Dreams and Shartnado.
Shartnado. Shartnado.
You can follow Chris at Chris D Comedy.
At Chris D Comedy. Yep.
And Carly at?
At Carly Aquilino.
Follow Ryan Ling at Ryan _ Ling.
_ Ling.
Follow me at the Ryan McKee.
Thank you guys.
Thank you
for listening,
for
you cuties.
You know the code.